The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric Harley has the morning off, but he returns for Sunday night, Monday morning show. How's everybody doing? Well, good news yesterday, at least in my opinion it was good news. Here is Secretary Wilbur Ross on with Bret Baier on Fox News, and he had this to say.
Yeah, I'm talking zero tariffs, possibly.
Right. President made clear at the G7, although, as you remember, nobody paid any attention, that his end game is zero tariffs, zero non-tariff trade barriers, zero subsidies, and zero barriers to our market access. So four big zeros.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'm very pleased because that's 3 days in a row that they have now promoted absolute free trade with the EU. Now, the political rhetoric may call it free but fair, but that's as close as you can get to free trade. Very, very happy with where the administration is going right now. Now, I will say one thing. Wilbur Ross said the president made it clear at G7, although you remember no one paid any attention. We did. As we have stated, before this week and before June, we don't remember the president ever stating, maybe he did in one or two speeches, but I don't remember in any major speeches on a consistent basis where the president has been promoting what he has the last 3 days. He mentioned it in North Korea, that, you know, maybe we should be looking at it. And then he was more definitive at the G7 when he said the same thing about zero tariffs and subsidies, which, of course, Eric and I went, what? Really? That's where you wish to go? And here it is right here. From the Wall Street Journal. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross told reporters, "This is a real vindication that the president's trade policy is starting to work." Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross told reporters as he traveled with Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump, he said, hopes to push for a global reduction in trade barriers. But to get there, we had to take a route of trying to make it more painful for the other parties to continue bad practices. Now, if the administration wishes to save face and pretend they've been free trade, unfettered free trade all along, that's okay with us. We're not going to call them on that. We'll let them have that. We just care about the substance of what eventually gets done. Because when he talks about the other party's continued bad practices, as we brought to you before, the United States tariffs more of a percentage of the products coming in, or that, you know, the coming into our country. We tariff more, twice as much as a percentage of the goods that we import as Canada does, twice as many, and a little bit more than the EU does. So as we said, we're just as guilty with the tariffs and the little protections that we have had as the United States too. So we've had our bad practices. We've covered this in full. If you've been paying attention, you know that this has been the biggest beef that we've had with President Trump has been on trade. And if the president was promoting unfettered free trade as he seems to be promoting now, you know, we would have been with him all along. But he hasn't been. But I don't care. It's 3 days in a row. After the first day, as you know, I didn't buy it. After the second day of promoting it, I was a little bit more hopeful, and I'm a little bit more hopeful after a third day of the president promoting and Wilbur Ross promoting zero tariffs, zero tariffs, zero non-tariff trade barriers, zero subsidies, zero barriers in our market access. So four big zeros. As long as that's what he wishes both countries to have, I'm behind him. They've said it now 3 days in a row. As I said earlier, and it's true, this president in my lifetime, this president went from being promoting the most protectionist ideas, even as recently as 3 days ago, because John Stossel took him to task when he was talking about the $150 billion that we lose to the European Union. You notice he's not talking about that anymore. That's been dropped from the conversation. Because if you believe in unfettered free trade, then no longer do you worry about trade deficits. Trade deficits don't matter. Because, as you know, when you have a trade deficit, you know you have a problem when your currency crashes, when you have a trade deficit that's causing problems. That's never happened here in the United States. Because we have a huge investment surplus that helps rebuild businesses right back here in the United States. So, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened inside. I know that Republicans are still worried. This is a couple of things that came out yesterday. This from Reuters. As trade tensions escalate between Washington and Beijing, the U.S. Senate quietly passed legislation on Thursday that would lower trade barriers on hundreds of items made in China. With no debate, the Senate unanimously passed a bill that would cut or eliminate tariffs on toasters, chemicals, and roughly 16 other items made outside the United States. Nearly half of those items are produced in China, according to a Reuters analysis of government records. As you see now, you know, we've got the GDP numbers coming out this morning, and everybody seems to be extremely optimistic. I've seen anywhere from 4% to over 5%. Any of that would be good. Republicans, though, worried about the upcoming midterm elections. They're afraid that in states that have been targeted for tariffs to retaliate to President Trump's tariffs, that they were focused on Trump states and Republican states to begin with, and it could hurt them in the midterm, and especially in the House. And House yesterday, I'll find that article here in a couple of moments here. There's another article out. I got so many things in front of me right now. The House yesterday was talking with administration officials and talking about the fact, what was it? Was it Larry Sabato who came out and said it's moving now in the direction the House is better odds that the Democrats can take it over? And you had this article that I was reading was talking about in this discussion, you had members of Congress, Republicans, who are in, districts that are a toss-up. And they've been targeted for the tariffs, and people are angry inside of those districts. And so in the House, they're fearful that because of the tariffs, even the China tariffs, it could put the House into Democrat hands. So that's the reality of what's going on. The other thing, and the president seems to have come to this conclusion, too, that if you're going to go after the unfair trade practices of China, then you need to be building alliances with the EU and Canada and Mexico. As we have told him all along, that's what we believe that he should do. So it looks like, and we were reading an article from the Wall Street Journal yesterday that was making that point that, no, it wasn't. I forgot who it was. It wasn't the Wall Street Journal. It was somebody else. It was an op-ed piece that I read where they were stating that they believe that the president is now recognizing the fact that you can't put tariffs against everybody. that if you're going to go after the worst, go after the worst. But to sit there and believe that you can tariff everybody and not affect the economy. I was looking at a chart showing that it's over $800 billion in goods that could be tariffed if all of them went through. And the amounts that have gone through now are just minuscule compared to the $800 billion. But the fact is, if that ever hit, it would tremendously hurt your economy overall. But if you're going after China for unfair trade practices, you need to build alliances with the people that have been cooperating with you for decades, which is the European Union, Canada, and Mexico. And you isolate China and also the free market countries of Asia. Because the goal should be not to isolate the United States from all its trade partners. You isolate China from trading. So, again, the last 3 days, very pleased with where the administration will go. And if they wish to save face by claiming this has always been their end goal, I'm not going to argue with them. Because now you have a president promoting what I never thought I would hear Donald Trump promoting, which is zero tariffs, zero subsidies, zero trade barriers. And it seems to be fine with his base. In fact, from what I've seen from just social media, they're talking about this is where the president has wanted to go all along. Well, that's fine. If you wish to believe that, I'm fine with it. As long as we get to the ultimate goal of what will help the economy and not hurt the economy. If you want to get in, we do have a line open. Would love to hear from you. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tires are one of the largest operating costs for owner-operators and fleets alike, but retreading gives you the opportunity to reuse your existing or old tires and save money. The cost of a retreaded tire can be anywhere from 30 to 50% less than the cost of a new tire, but in order to retread your tires, they must be properly maintained. It's important to pull your tires before any wires become exposed. As soon as any wires are exposed, your tires are unprotected from harsh environmental chemicals which can damage the casing and place it out of service, resulting in an expensive loss. Pulling your tires before any wires are exposed will help maintain the integrity of the tires, allowing for multiple retreads and saving you money.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to Steve in Salt Lake City. Steve, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
No, thank you. How you doing?
Very good.
Yeah, I think that's exactly where Trump was intending to go, was all zeros. I think that's what he had in mind along.
If you wish to believe that, I'm not going to argue with you because it's going in the direction that I like. But that it would be an it would be an inaccurate statement. Trump,
you don't think that?
No, here's what I think. Trump brought up their tariffs. He never brought up our tariffs.
Right. His complaint.
His complaint was their tariffs is what was causing the $150 billion, because that was his focus, was the $150 billion trade deficit is what their tariffs were causing. It was not.
Well, that might be true, but I still believe.
Right. Well, that's the whole point. Well, yeah, but he was looking at their tariffs, but as we said, we actually tariff more of a percentage of our products than the European Union does. We do twice what Canada does to make them that's what I just said, to make them the evildoers. And remember, our tariffs come to a total of, in 2017, of 1.6% of the total goods that we import. Europe was 1.60, Canada was 0.85%. So we actually tariff more. We tariff over 12,000 goods here into the United States. So my point is, he has always felt, and Peter Navarro and Wilbur Ross, they have been known protectionists. Now, when he brought in Larry Kudlow as his chief economic advisor, I was extremely happy because he's a free market guy. And we were wondering, we thought maybe he was losing influence, but it seems now in the last couple of days he hasn't. Notice that Trump is not talking about, they're not talking about the $150 billion trade deficit. He always talked trade deficits and that had to come down. If you believe that we should have unfettered free trade, which is really unprecedented for a president to have that kind of talk, which is very refreshing for me to hear that. I hope we're going to go in that direction. You can't be concerned about trade deficits because trade deficits go wherever they want then. And in all likelihood,
yeah, it seems like a guy that makes his living making deals wouldn't want any kind of anything to fetter his ability to make a deal. It seems like that's what he would want.
Yeah, that's what was always so confusing for us, because if you understand, we've been talking about our opposition to Donald Trump's trade policies when he first wanted to run for president in 2012. And that was one of the biggest disagreements that we had with Trump supporters all throughout the campaign and through the last year and a half. We didn't magically change our opinion in the last 3 days. We've always been absolute free traders on this show. We believe that that's actually what boosts an economy. And we believe that free trade and both sides of trade, both buying the goods and selling the goods in a competitive marketplace, are healthy for an economy. The president has always talked about the fact that we lose. Just 3 days ago, John Stossel, the libertarian from Fox News, got into a little bit of a disagreement with the president because the president says we lose. And Stossel was like, no, we don't lose when we trade. You don't lose. There's not a winner and a loser. So the fact that he has gone from that and talking about the $150 billion trade deficit, and now that seems to have disappeared from the narrative, and it's strictly free trade across European Union to us, no tariffs, no barriers either way, is exactly the language that we've been dying to hear from him and wasn't sure we would ever hear, because he's had a long, long history from the 1980s of having a much more protectionist mindset. So we're very refreshed to hear it. We just hope that it's going to continue.
So he's taking good advice from better people. That's a good thing.
Well, I think I think maybe he didn't expect the blowback from a lot of the industry, from a lot of the farmers, from a lot of the people that use steel, because the tariffs that he was going to put on, I mean, when you see the reaction and the impact that just the tariffs that we put on now, which are still minuscule, probably less than 10% than what the president plans on putting on, which would be $800 billion, it would be devastating to the economy. And so
when he was talking, I thought we were getting beat up in the world market. That's the way he made it sound.
Well, if we were getting beat up in the market, then again, his goal was to do what? His goal was to protect American industry. Remember, he's the one that said tariffs are good. Just a few days ago, he said tariffs are great. And it's like, what? And
he's a hard guy to figure out. He keeps ending up in a good place, and I keep thinking maybe he's really smart, but maybe he's just taking advice from people and getting kind of led by the nose a little bit.
Look, I think there's a learning curve, but I also think that there has been great debate. But I have no problem If a president is on a learning curve as a president and learns and listens to people and listens to and then acknowledges the reality of, OK, maybe economically this doesn't work. I'm just happy that he's going in the right direction. And that's why, again, if they wish to save face by claiming this was their goal all along, fine. I'm not going to put up too much of a stink. It's not the case. But if they wish to do that, I'm not going to argue it, because I care about the end game. And I'm sure Eric would think the same way if he was here. We care about the end game. What is it going to be at the end? With this president, it's not all the show that goes on around it. It's what comes out at the end that I'm concerned with.
They have no fear. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Eric has the morning off. You know, Eric and I had the discussion when, and it was, this was before the EU and the United States got into the trade tiff. This was just with China, when we were talking about China and the United States. And one of the questions that we were asking, and again, it's there's a great debate to have on it, is who would be affected first, especially if the tariffs were huge? Who would be affected first politically? Would it be a communist government who has more control, or would it be in a country like ours where, again, everything is publicly monitored when it comes to the economy? We know. And for example, we know when we were in the last recession, we know that we didn't lose 10 or 15 or 20% of our economy. Over the period of that year and a half, you know, we might have seen, or that year of the recession, the total decrease in our economy might have been 2%. And you saw the impact that still is being felt today. And so free markets are extremely sensitive to things like massive tariffs. And we have said, you know, the president's taking a gamble here. Now, Wilbur Ross yesterday said, you know, to get here, we had to make it more painful for the other parties, as if the only reason that the EU, that we're getting a deal with the EU, is because of the pain they felt and we're just doing fine. Well, as the Wall Street Journal points out, back in Washington, Trump advisors got an earful. This is yesterday, from angry lawmakers on Capitol Hill who blasted the administration's approach, criticized the European pact as weak, demanded faster relief for ailing constituents, and pledged to ramp up efforts to tie the president's hands in shaping trade policy going forward. Said Andy Barr, Republican from Kentucky, there was a lot of pushback on the strategy following a closed meeting between House Republicans and Larry Kudlow, head of the National Economic Council, and Peter Navarro. I spaced out his name before, but Peter Navarro, who I was talking about a half hour ago, a White House trade advisor. Mr. Barr is one of 24 GOP representatives whose re-election this November is rated a toss-up by Cook Political Report, and he complained that bourbon makers in his district were being hurt by the European retaliation for U.S. steel tariffs. We want to know when we're going to get a solution. With Republicans growing increasingly worried about losing control of the House this fall, fears aggravated by polls showing the unpopularity of Trump trade policies. One congressman read aloud to the White House advisors a text from a tool and die maker in his district in Michigan who is facing higher raw material costs because of aluminum and steel tariffs. Quote, I was making sure that they heard the message that this is not just uncomfortable, it's painful and damaging. Many of the lawmakers said the GOP-led Congress should keep alive the prospect of legislation to curb Mr. Trump's ability to impose tariffs on the table, even after an apparent thaw in relations between the U.S. and EU. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Orrin Hatch indicated that he wasn't ready to drop his threat to advance such a measure, which Republicans on his panel have been discussing for weeks. We're still going with that. In the Europe statement, Mr. Trump and Mr. Juncker agreed to launch trade talks that would seek to eliminate tariffs, but many Republicans weren't satisfied with that. As part of their campaign to reassure anxious lawmakers, Trump officials said they were moving to follow the European announcement with more trade deals ASAP. So, like I said, look, in tariffs, both sides get hurt. There's pressure on both sides. To say the pressure was just on the European side would be an inaccurate statement. The pressure also was being felt in the administration by Republicans, especially in Congress, whose constituents were being harmed by the tariffs. So that's just the reality of the situation. But as long, look, I hope that this is the direction that the president really goes in. I hope this is where he really wishes to go. And he has been convinced, and that's the direction that he is going in. to make it 3 days in a row so crystal clear. And if you know, as you know, if you've listened to this show, that's been one of our complaints as recently as 3 days ago. We said nobody in the administration is telling us what the end game is. What is your goal? What do you want? Boom. Wednesday, there it was. Thursday, Tuesday, there it was. Wednesday, there it was. Yesterday, there it was. The same exact message. That was clarity that we haven't gotten from this administration. That's a good thing. We know exactly what they want now. We know exactly what kind of trade deal he wants to have now, not only with the European Union, but the G7, which, you know, we're including Canada in there. And hopefully other nations that also wish to practice free trade in Asia, in South America, Central America. To me, it would be wonderful if this is truly what the president's goal now is, which, again, has been consistent for 3 days. So hopefully that's where it goes. All right. If you want to get in, 866-90-RUD-EYE. Let's head to Mike in Granbury, Texas, about the Mueller investigation. We've talked about both the story out that Mueller is now looking at tweets of the president, and we played an audio cut earlier from constitutional expert Jonathan Turley, no fan of Trump at all, who said this just, if they do this, it just shows that they've got a weak case. Mike, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
If you read the indictment that Mueller filed against all the Russian intelligence officers, you would see clearly that there's no collusion by Trump with the Russians, particularly given that, you know, the Russians, who, by the way, had been under surveillance for several years by the Dutch, who was sharing with the CIA, the Russians had gone in, started about February. They finally hacked the computers by March and April. And then by June, they were figured out when they started to put out information on the DC Leaks website and using Grucifer 2.0
right,
but his blog and his
right, but
Twitter.
There was never
WikiLeaks.
Right. But there was never an accusation. I just want to, because I don't want to get too far off into it. There was never Mueller was never making the case. In fact, Mueller, even with the investigations, it was clear. I mean, I don't know if you were trying to imply that there was an inference that somehow with the Russians that have been indicted, that somehow that involved Trump. It's been clear that none of that involved Trump whatsoever. It is clear. I think that the mainstream media, if you're a reporter of any type of integrity whatsoever, would know that there is no accusation that Trump colluded with the Russians to change the outcome of the election. There's no specific allegation. In fact, that's why we believe the narrative has gone from that, not collusion anymore with the, you don't hear that much anymore. Once in a while, somebody will throw it out. But what you hear is obstruction of justice. That even though the president was completely and totally innocent, he wanted to stop an investigation that would eventually show that he was completely and totally innocent, and therefore he needs to be impeached and go to jail. So you didn't need to go further on this, because nobody was making the accusation that the Russians being indicted involved Trump. Not even Mueller was making that point. So now that's why, as Jonathan Turley said when we played that audio cut earlier, it's like, you know, he's got a pretty weak case if that's what he's trying to use, that Trump's tweets show intent for obstruction of justice. It would just be a bad case to bring to court, but that's how desperate they are, looking for anything that he obstruct justice, because, again, That's their narrative. Impeach him, impeach him, impeach him. And so they're trying to find anything. And again, we don't know where Mueller's going. And even Jonathan Turley said that. He said, you know, maybe it just wants to be part of his report that Trump, you know, tweeted these things out, but they weren't. It wasn't evidence of obstruction of justice. We don't know. Look, my biggest thing with Mueller is, does his investigation take him to the FISA warrant? Does his investigation take him to where there actually was collusion, which was the Hillary campaign and the DNC, Payne, Perkins, Coie, the law firm who paid Fusion GPS, who paid the foreign national, Christopher Steele, campaign money violation, who then got unverified information, he claims, from inside Russia, from inside the Kremlin, to use against Donald Trump to destroy his chances of winning the presidency, and when that failed, to destroy the legitimacy of his election. How many times have we said that? It's interesting because I get asked all the time. We've heard you say that a ton of times, and we appreciate the fact, because at times I'm like, oh, geez, people must be get sick of us saying that over and over again. But you got to lay it out. As long as they keep screaming that something was wrong and the Mueller investigation must go on, well, then let's talk about where the real collusion was. But to me, I wonder whether Mueller will ever bring that up. Look, it took me to, you know, because I was hired to do what? I was hired to find out if the Trump campaign colluded with the Russians. Where would the best evidence be? Oh, from the FBI, they got a FISA warrant to spy on the Trump campaign. On Carter Page. Oh, okay, well, that's got to be the best evidence right there. All right, let me see where that takes me, to the FISA warrant. Okay, where'd their information come from? Where'd the information from the FISA warrant? Was it intelligence? Okay, no. It came from, it was the source by what? It was paid for by Hillary? Well, Hillary, okay, well, where did the information come from? Who was, oh, the Russians provided it, according to Christopher Steele. It would take you back through that. And I've asked the question, and Eric and I have asked this for probably almost a year now, that isn't that where, if you have an investigative mindset, that would naturally take you, if you take politics out of it completely, if you take the name Trump out of it completely or Hillary out of it completely, and it's candidate X or candidate Y, and you're doing the investigation, isn't that where it naturally, progression-wise, would take you in an investigation? I think it would. So that's still my biggest question. Will the Mueller investigation actually get into that? Have they investigated that? Will they investigate it? Will they even mention it? And if you don't look at the evidence that got you the FISA warrant, then can you really say that you were trying to complete the investigation to see if the Trump campaign colluded with the Russians? That's my point. You can't even make the point that you're legitimately going after Trump unless you go to see what the evidence got the FISA warrant to begin with. Because the Democrats are still screaming that it's the unknown part of the FISA warrant which justifies the FISA warrant, on that it's the redacted part of the FISA, the blacked out part of it. That's the part that proves that they had the evidence to go after the campaign. Well, then Mueller has to want to know what's in there, right? 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has the morning off, but returns for Sunday night, Monday morning show. A survey was taken of 2,000 Americans about what is a perfect day. Now, Americans say they only have about 15 perfect days a year. What is the perfect day for the average American? All right, this was done by the U.S. Highbush Blueberry Council survey. They found the average person would be happiest, the happiest and perfect day for the average person in America is waking up at 8:15 in the morning. A perfect day would entail a sunny, spring-like forecast with temperatures reaching 74 degrees. and respondents being able to enjoy 3 hours outside. They see themselves as spending 4 hours with their family, 3 hours with their friends, then coming home, hopping on the couch, where they would watch TV for another 3 hours. When all said and done, they would go to sleep at 10:50 at night. And for the average American, that is the perfect day. Spending time with friends and family, some outdoor time, and getting a little bit of sleep. Well, I guess so much for the materialistic nation that we live in, correct? That seems like basic things that of substance that we all should get the greatest joy out of. Family, friends, outdoors, sleep. What? No coffee. There's no coffee in there. Wouldn't be a perfect day. Gotta have coffee.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has the morning off. You and me. In the news today, second quarter GDP numbers coming out later on this morning, expected to top 4%. The last time the economy expanded at a comparable pace was in 2014, when growth hit 5.2% in the third quarter. Now, it's only one quarter, but it's something that can be indicative that the tax cuts, I can guarantee the Republicans and the president will use it if we have great economic growth, that the tax cuts had something to do with it. It'll be interesting to see. Because this is a time now, and we talked about earlier in the show, that the Democrats are getting ready for the midterms, rolling out their legislation that's not going to go anywhere, that they want to offer 2 years of free community college. Actually, they would pay states, give states federal grants and federal money if states would guarantee that they would offer tuition-free community college for students. So you know that anything that comes up economically is going to be used here for the midterm election. So it'll be interesting to see if there is great economic growth. We know how the Republicans will respond. It'll be interesting to see how the Democrats respond. So those numbers coming out a little bit later on today. Also, in the economic front, it's day three of the consistency of the administration talking this way. This is Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross on with Brett Baer on Fox News yesterday.
Yeah, I'm talking zero tariffs, possibly.
Right. President made clear at the G7, although, as you remember, nobody paid any attention, that his end game is zero tariffs, zero non-tariff trade barriers, zero subsidies, and zero barriers to our market access. So four big zeros.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the good news that we like to hear. And I do like how Wilbur Ross framed it and mentioned that the president had said it, made that clear at the G7. If you remember on the show, we both brought that up when he said it at the G7, and his comments sort of off the cuff about maybe we should be looking for, zero tariffs and the North Korea summit. And so we've been paying attention to it, because when we heard those words, we went, what? We've been paying attention to where the president stands on trade ever since he was considering running in 2011, 2012. And so it's something that our biggest disagreements with the administration and with the president has been what he has been promoting on trade since he started running in end of 2015, into 2016 with the election. And the language that they are talking is different language than they have talked before. The language now is zero tariffs. They're not talking about the trade deficits. You don't hear the trade deficits being the major item being talked as it was 4 days ago. So we wonder what created this new narrative, which added a whole bunch of good things. In fact, all good things from what we can see. And the president going from, in my opinion, others may disagree, but in my opinion, a candidate and a president that was more protectionist than any in my lifetime just 4 days ago, to the most free trading sounding administration in my lifetime over the last 3 days. That's a good thing. No matter how he got there. And if they wish to save face, as he did yesterday, saying this has been our goal all along, and they want to save face and claim that that's been their opinion, so be it. We care about the end game here on Red Eye and where we eventually get to. But if this is where the president really stands, and that's what he wants to do with all the members of the G7, with all the members of the European Union, Canada, which is a member of the G7, Mexico, free trade partners in people that wish to have free trade in Asia and South America and Central America, we are all for it and believe it is a good thing. And like I said, I'll say it one more time because I think it's important because I pay attention. I see social media, and most Trump supporters are saying this was his goal all along. If you wish to believe that, that's fine as long as we get to the end game. But that actually is not the case. The president has not been promoting free trade. He has not been promoting free trade. He's been against free trade for the longest time since he has been talking about this since the 1980s. I'm glad he's come around. We were hopeful that there's been a learning curve when he put Larry Kudlow in there as his chief economic advisor, that we at that point said there may be a great learning curve here. And we're great to see that over the last 3 days that the president has been absolutely specific on it, which has been what we have. If you've heard our criticism, has been with the tariffs and everything else. What is your end game? What do you want? 3 days ago, they were specific on what they wanted, and we are all for it. And if the argument is we have misunderstood the president for the last 35, 40 years, then so be it. You can have that one, too. Just get us to the right end game. Because that's what we care about. We care about economic growth. That's what's important. Now, even though Wilbur Ross was saying that yesterday, you had Larry Kudlow and Peter Navarro in front of members of the House getting extreme criticism. Members of the House, especially Republicans, saying, look, this isn't good enough. They're really, this is a deal to get a deal done. And the soybeans that they may buy are a pittance of what China was buying from us. So, look, there's a long way to go. You need to get this stuff done now because our people are hurting. And the fear from Republicans is that the polling is now showing that the Democrats and the analysis is showing the Democrats now are moving into better odds of taking back the House. And we can't have these toss-up states that a lot of the tariffs that were put on in retaliation for the president's tariffs are hitting. They were specifically meant to do that. And now those Republican toss-up candidates and incumbents are vehemently complaining. Meanwhile, in the Senate yesterday, and this was almost buried news. I don't know why. But in the Senate yesterday, they passed unanimously a bill that was also passed unanimously, apparently, in the House that would remove over 1,600 import tariffs from things being imported into the United States. Roughly half of those products, according to Reuters, coming from China. So and this happened yesterday. So Congress right now, especially the Republicans in Congress, wanting this to be resolved ASAP, extremely concerned about the upcoming election. So there you go on trade. But really, for the most part, from what we have seen it going, we view it here at Red Eye Radio as very, very good news. In other news out there, wow, the report yesterday that came out from CNN that Michael Cohen claims that Trump knew in advance about the 2016 Trump Tower meeting. Okay. Michael Cohen, President Donald Trump's former personal attorney, claims that then-candidate Trump knew in advance about the June 2016 meeting in Trump Tower, in which the Russians were expected to offer his campaign dirt on Hillary Clinton. Sources with knowledge tell CNN. Then what came out afterwards, as later in the article. To be clear, these sources said Cohen does not have the evidence, such as audio recordings, to corroborate his claim, but he is willing to attest to his account. Cohen privately testified last year to two congressional committees investigating Russian interference in the 2016 election. A source familiar with Cohen's House testimony said he did not testify that Trump had advanced knowledge. Cohen's claims were not mentioned in separate reports issued by Republicans and Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee. Contacted by CNN, one of Cohen's attorneys, Lanny Davis, declined to comment. And then further on from Mediate.com, Lanny Davis told MSNBC that while he had no comment on the matter, it wasn't his team that put out the story, and he implied it might have been Trump's people that put out the story to begin with. So this is all over the place right now. Let me play this quick audio. This was from Rudy Giuliani and Chris Cuomo last night after the story broke on CNN.
What is your response to the headline? You did not look very impressed in the green room.
No, I expected something like this from Cohen. He's been lying all week. I mean, he's been lying for years. I mean, the tapes that we have demonstrate any number of very serious lies by him back a year and a half ago, including his fooling people, hiding tape recordings, telling they weren't recorded, lying to their face, breaking faith with them, taping his client, which is a disbarrable offense. I don't see how he has any credibility. I mean, this is basically if you had a trial, and there won't be a trial here, but if you had a trial, you'd say, well, which lie do you want to pick? You want to pick the first lie, the second lie, or maybe some new lie? There's nobody that I know that knows him that hasn't warned me that if he's back is up against the wall, he'll lie like crazy because he's.
Now, the one point that I wanted to bring up here, Giuliani, later on, and this was a quite long interview. It was 21 minutes long. But later on in the interview, twice, he stated that, you know, no, Trump did not know. So just so you know. So that's where that story is now, and who knows where it's going to go. Again, a source story from CNN, and we'll see whether it falls apart or not over the weekend. In other news out there, this, again, did not get a lot of coverage yesterday. I'm really amazed at the number of stories that did not. A Republican-controlled House committee moved to significantly expand foreign worker programs in a markup to the 2019 Department of Homeland Security Appropriations Bill. The House Appropriations Committee tacked on two amendments that would raise the annual caps on guest worker visas in agriculture and seasonal jobs. It also passed on an amendment from Republican Kevin Yoder of Kansas that would reduce the backlog of employment-based green cards for high-skilled workers from India and China. The guest worker amendments pertain to two visa programs, the H-2A and the H-2B visas, that allow U.S. companies to bring in thousands of foreign laborers each year if they are unable to find American workers to fill the jobs. Business groups that have long advocated for expanding both programs, arguing that there are not enough Americans willing to meet their labor needs. So it's going to be interesting to see what how the president responds to this. Now, the president did say that in some of the agriculture and seasonal jobs that he would respond to it. So there's where we are right now, and we'll see where that goes. And this, I want to make sure we get this in, because Devin Nunes, this sort of got lost in the shuffle, too, the whole, you know, by the end of the week, right? Let's forget about the FISA application. Many in the media, I'm sure, would want to go. But the release of the heavily redacted versions of the FBI's application for surveillance warrants against former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page has generated speculation about what's behind the black boxes, the redacted portion that cover up a significant portion of the government documents. Because what we're hearing from the left is that's where all the damning evidence is on Carter Page. This, what is hidden, what is top secret, is what will justify the FISA warrants against Carter Page. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes claimed in an interview on Thursday that what is behind the redactions is really bad in terms of showing the FBI relied on flimsy evidence to obtain the spy warrants on Page. What's in the redactions is equally bad. Some would probably say worse than what the American people can see today, Nunes said in an interview on Hill TV. I would argue that what's left in there is really bad, if not worse, but also what's not in there is even worse than what people can see. What people can see is worse. You know, it's going to be an interesting rest of the summer and fall, don't you think? 866-90-RED-EYE.
For this year, 2018, with a lot of year left to go, Agriculture Department food price analyst Anne-Marie Coons is forecasting grocery store food prices to stay the same as last year to maybe increasing 1%. But each year at the same time, she really sticks her neck out and makes a forecast for the next year. Usually, that forecast ends up changing as time goes on. But right now, what is her forecast for 2019 grocery store food prices?
We're expecting those to increase 1-2%.
Now, it is true analysts are forecasting declines in the farm prices for many basic food commodities, but Kuhn says there are other things affecting the price we pay for food.
Such as industrial electric power, diesel, we look at grocery store wages. So we're looking at all of these other factors that go into the price we pay as consumers at the grocery store.
And the prices for those things are rising and expected to rise in 2019. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley. He has a morning off. I'm Gary McNamara. Just very quickly here, I did the story on the Republicans pushing a massive foreign worker visa expansion in the Department of Homeland Security spending bill. And I just want to make it clear, because they're the two bills that were there, the one that would expand foreign worker programs, the House Appropriations Committee chaired said that they've tacked on two amendments that would raise annual caps on guest worker visas in agriculture and seasonal jobs. The amendment, I want to make sure I read it correctly, from Republican Kevin Yoder of Kansas, would reduce the backlog of employment-based green cards for high-skill workers. It means it would expand it. It's going to be fascinating to see how the White House and how the president views this, because this was, you know, the visas, the H-2A and the H-2B visas were a huge controversy and point of contention with the president during the campaign. So that's why I brought that up. And the president, I have not seen, maybe he will tweet on it today, but they actually had, this story actually came out on Wednesday. So it will be interesting to see if the president responds and whether he's in favor for that. Now, he has, in some of his speeches, talked about the fact that for farmers and seasonal workers, that he is willing to sign. On the high-skilled, high-tech workers and the H-2A and the H-2B visas, it'll be interesting to see where his opinion lies on that one. Coming up following the bottom of the hour, a great survey that was taken. It's one that I love. It's a great poll. And we'll tell you about the Democrats introduced a bill this week for tuition-free college. And also we'll tell you about the ban in San Francisco on free food in workplace cafeterias. You hear that story? Wow. That and more coming up. Right now it's time for your forecast, brought to you by Omnitrax.
We're going to start to see a shift in the pattern that we've been experiencing much of this week. Now, moving into the weekend, the hot weather will remain in the west, but the rain will begin to dry out in the east and northeast. We have a weak frontal boundary that's pushing through the central plains and Midwest, and once that rain is through, we will see some clearing skies and beautiful conditions for the weekend for places like Kansas City, Indianapolis, and Chicago. By tomorrow, that frontal boundary will be pushing into the south, so look for some scattered showers Saturday from North Texas into Louisiana and North Georgia. We'll see some periods of sunshine throughout the East Coast this weekend, but some spotty showers, primarily along the coast. West of I-95 in the east and northeast, things will be drying out. Good chance for showers in the central Rockies tomorrow, including Denver and the Four Corners region, where rain is desperately needed, but it will remain dry and hot in the west. There's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Bona Show.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has the morning off, returns for Sunday night, Monday morning show. All right, quickly, got to get through these stories here. A couple of polls you need to know about in case you're just waking up. A new poll done by the Hill TV Harris X American Barometer. 76% of respondents in a recent survey said they would not vote for a socialist candidate, while 24% said those of those polled said they have no problem with a hypothetical socialist candidate. So 74% said they would never vote for a socialist candidate, or they would not vote. I didn't say never. They would not vote for a socialist candidate. 24% said they would. When those same people would ask whether they would vote for a politician who would give them everything for free, 100% said yes. Okay, that might be fake news. You get my point. If you ask the question just a little differently, 74% said they would not vote for a socialist. Okay, if your politician said you could have free college, a guaranteed job, free medical care, free dental, free housing allowance. Hey, I got to throw the housing allowance in, right? That's already that was brought up this week. Hey, we need federal housing subsidies and rent subsidies in California. So I wonder if you just went to those same people that said, I wouldn't vote for a socialist. And you said, okay, but would you vote for somebody who would give you free college, free food, free housing, guaranteed job, free health care? What would those... Of those 76 or the 76%, how many would say yes? I don't have an answer. I'm just throwing that out as a question to make you think. Another poll that was done, and this is important for two reasons. Apparently, it shows that some Democrats have said, oh, that isn't reality, but not the majority. A majority of Democrats still think Russia tampered with the vote counts in order to help President Trump win the 2016 election, despite there being no evidence ever to support that claim. We brought you the two other polls that were done earlier this spring and then in the spring of 2017, where it was in the 60% range, 62-63%, I believe the first poll, I'm doing it from memory, and close to two-thirds in the poll that was done this year of Democrats believed that the Russians actually hacked into the machines and changed the vote count. 55% of Democrats now believe that it's either definitely true or probably true that Russia tampered with the vote tallies in order to get Trump elected, according to a new YouGov Economist survey published on Wednesday. So making improvement, but it's still the majority of Democrats that believe something that there has never been any stated evidence in any publication. Now, there were a lot of articles that wrote, well, Mueller's investigation into whether Donald Trump colluded with the Russians to hack the election. There were a ton of those articles in 2017. But nobody ever made the specific accusation that Trump actually did it. It was just the general investigation, or the general investigation, or should we look into whether Trump colluded with the Russians to hack the election? Because that became the narrative. So there you go. Meanwhile, House Democrats introducing a bill this week to make college tuition free by minimizing debt and simplifying financial aid procedures. The AIM Higher Act, expected to hit the House by the end of this week, will grant states federal funding provided that they reciprocate by granting 2 years of tuition-free community college to students. The Washington Post reported on Tuesday. The AIM Higher Act is a serious and comprehensive proposal to give every student the opportunity to earn a debt-free degree or credential. This is from the Daily Signal. I'm reading this from. That's from Representative Robert Bobby Scott, told the Post. It provides immediate and long-term relief to students and parents struggling with the cost of college. We did a poll on that. I don't think I got anyone in favor of that. Not one. And San Francisco lawmakers this week introduced a proposal to ban workplace cafeterias that offer free food in an effort to encourage more patronage of local businesses. The city supervisors introduced the measure, which would change zoning laws so workplace cafeterias would no longer be allowed in any commercial outlet. The change would not be retroactive. You can't have an industrial kitchen in your office building, Peskin said of the ban. That's one of the supervisors, which has support from the Golden Gate Restaurant Association. The reason I'm bringing you this story is Eric and I talked about this on yesterday's show because Mountain Grove, California, has enacted a similar ban. Now, we're still not sure whether it bans just all cafeterias or cafeterias that serve free food to their employees. We're still not absolutely positive of what's in the letter of that law. But either way, you got to be kidding me. This is where the left is going. Now, here's the problem. The left is stating, well, wait a minute. If you have, these are the things we're thinking of. If you have free lunch and a cafeteria, people will eat there instead of going out and eating at local restaurants and other establishments, and that will hurt us. The supervisor said many of these companies touted the boost their employees would have on our local economy, only to provide everything round-the-clock gourmet catering to dry cleaning on site. The ban was inspired by Twitter and Airbnb, the two large tech companies that are known to offer free food to employees as a perk. Wait, does this mean we lose our coffee here? This is the best part of the whole article. Although the ban is meant to help eateries and their employees, University of California, Berkeley, urban economics professor Enrico Moratti told BuzzFeed News that it would likely hurt restaurant workers more than help them because cafeteria jobs in tech companies tend to offer better pay and benefits. If we're talking about wages, working conditions, and benefits, I think it's likely to make things worse for workers. The fraction of workers in restaurants that are offered benefits and high wages is certainly lower than what the worker would find in the cafeteria of a larger company. Finally, our audio cut of the day. All right, you ready? Comes from Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross on with Brett Baer yesterday on Fox News.
Yeah, I'm talking zero tariffs, possibly.
Right. President made clear at the G7, although, as you remember, nobody paid any attention, that his end game is zero tariffs, zero non-tariff trade barriers, zero subsidies, and zero barriers to our market access. So four big zeros.
And there you go. And that's huge because that is a reversal. They won't admit it. That's okay. If they wish to save face, we'll only call them on it mildly. But the president, in a matter of 4 days, and this is 3 days in a row now, that consistent message went from probably the biggest protectionist messages of a president in my lifetime to the biggest promoting of messages that promote free trade in my lifetime. And that's good. So we here at Red Eye Radio hope that this is the direction that they're going in. They're getting more precise. You know, that's been a criticism that we've had of this administration as recently as early this week, when we said what's frustrating is American companies are hurting and the president isn't telling you what the end game is. He's not telling you what they want. What do you want? When the smoke is cleared, what do you want? They started that earlier this week, 3 days in a row now, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. There it is. Promoting free trade, unfettered free trade. Zero tariffs, no trade barriers, no subsidies, zero barriers. And that's on both sides. And that is good. And so that, to me, is actually the story of the week, because that is a huge, huge win, I believe, if this is where the president stays on this message. If this is where they're going, it is a good thing. And as I told you last hour, the study that was taken that the average average American only has 15 perfect days a year, what they call perfect. And what's a perfect day for the average American? Perfect day for an average American is waking up at 8:15 in the morning. A perfect day would entail a sunny, spring-like forecast with temperatures reaching 74 degrees. And respondents would be able to enjoy 3 hours outside. They see themselves in spending 4 hours with their family, 3 hours with friends, then coming home, hopping on the couch, and watching TV. When all said and done, the perfect day would mean they go to sleep at 10:50 p.m. That's pretty basic. Spokesperson for the polling company says, who doesn't love sleeping in sunny skies and spending time with loved ones? These simple pleasures put the biggest smiles on our faces. So there you go. Oh, and what are the... This was interesting. This is what I wanted to read to you on this one. The biggest mood boosters for people, all right? What is the what boosts people's mood the most? 58% mention these. Finding money in your pocket that you didn't know that you had. That actually was rated highest. Being able to sleep with no alarm set. These are in order of percentages of how people voted. Lying in bed listening to rain fall outside. A small gesture of kindness from somebody in your life. Petting a dog. Performing a small gesture of kindness for somebody in your life. Realizing it's a beautiful sunny day. A long hot shower. A meaningful long hug from somebody you love. Where's winning the lottery? Oh, those aren't possible. Okay, these are things that are possible in our lives. Okay. Seeing a friend you haven't seen in a long time. The first sip of coffee of the day. That should be rated higher. Plopping down on your bed after a long, tiring day. Walking into an air-conditioned building on a hot day. Baked treats. Listening to your favorite album. Watching the sunset or sunrise. Holding hands with someone you love. Getting new clothes. Ah, there it is. There's our materialistic society. I mentioned earlier when you looked at the perfect day and you looked at the vast majority of things here, but even clothes. Nothing is about what we're, you know, what the criticism of our society is, that we're a purely materialistic society. When you look at what really makes people happy and what their goals are that really change their moods, they're all the simple things. They're all the good things. So I like that. I like that survey. Perfect day. For me, the biggest mood enhancer. 180 yards away from the hole, and I have a 4-iron, and I put it about within 10 feet of the cup. That would be it for me. That's golf, in case you didn't understand the lingo. 866-90-RED-EYE.
How much do you know about synthetic oil? Heavy-duty trucks have been running on traditional mineral oil for the last 100 years. But today's technology brings us other options to consider. It's better quality. Unlike mineral oils, synthetic oils have a consistent molecular structure, giving it the ability to support pressures from higher horsepower engines, especially at lower RPMs. It also allows oil to reduce friction in an engine, controlling temperatures and improving fuel economy. They're cleaner. Synthetics pick up fewer contaminants as they do their job of lubrication. They also have better oxidation stability, resulting in an overall cleaner engine. Synthetic and semi-synthetic oil may be a bigger investment up front, but the benefits of its high-quality composition will pay off in the long run.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. Eric has the morning off, but returns for Sunday night, Monday morning show. Just reading some of the different headlines here. Zuckerberg loses more than $15 billion in record Facebook fall. Zuckerberg lost nearly $16 billion in one day from CNN. Reuters was the other headline. All across the board that he lost between $15 and $16 billion in one day. But remember, it's only paper. I'm sorry, but if I lost $10,000 in stock, it doesn't matter. It's still more than paper to me. But does his credit rating go down when he loses $16 billion? That would be my question.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.